God does work in us many times in mysterious ways simply because we are a mysterious creation. God says that each one of us have a unique personality. Each one of us has been given such a gift as freedom. I've listened over the years and how folks would talk about Adam when God was creating man, that Adam didn't have a choice. Here God sets him in this beautiful garden, and God tells him to tend it. You take care of it. Don't have to worry about being rained out, because it never had rain, but and everything was moist from underneath the garden. Well, when God saw us before time began, God chose to make sure that each individual had the right to choose. The choice to either accept God's word, God's truth, God's son, or to reject God's word, God's truth, God's son. Said you have a choice. And many would say, no, Adam didn't have a choice. Yes, he did. Yes, God is the giver of freedom, not an army, not a nation. It's God. I may have the freedom to move about and do as I please, but the freedom that you and I and all of our families are looking for is that freedom from within. We need peace inside. Only God can give us that freedom. Only God can keep a nation free. That's why it's never wise for a nation to put God outside, because they don't want to offend anyone. And not only that, preachers, you preachers need to be giving the same time for Satan as you're giving for Christ. Well, Jesus did talk 10 times more about hell than he did heaven. And he did warn of Satan all the time. So you just got my part on that. The rest of it's about who Jesus is. I don't understand how that the gift that God has given us of life and wanting to offer us that freedom inside. Let me tell you about God's love. Let me tell you about God's gift given to us of choice. The beautiful garden. And God is explaining to Adam. Well, yeah, before he explained, here's what went on with Adam. God created man from the dust of the earth, Adam. Now, when God created Adam, I want you to remember this. Here he is. He's the man. The perfect man, as some would say. You women don't think there is such a thing. Might not be nowadays. There was then. Adam was nothing but an empty clay pot. You getting it? He created man, but man did not become a living being until God made it so and breathed into him. Let's look at Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Well, we sang the song, the old clay pot. I was nothing but a hunk of clay or something. That's a fact. Did you know when you leave this body's going back to the dust? Does anybody let you know that? I got news for you, folks. I don't care how good that coffin is, you're going to go back to dust. It's the way that God chose. And he said, I've chosen to give you that body for a short period of time. The older we get, the more we see the blessing that it's a short period of time. And God says, as I give it to you, I want you to know. I gave Adam a choice of life, but I also gave Adam the right to rebel against me. So God's explaining the garden to his creation. And as he's looking around, and you would see all the trees good for food, everything perfect. And God says, now I want you to look at it. Adam, I want you to know I'm putting you in charge of it. I'm putting the human race in charge of all the animals, of everything that goes on earth. I'm giving you the right, the honor, to take care of my earth, of my animals, of the food that I give you. Now, Adam, as you're looking at all of it, I want you to remember something. You're going to have a choice in this. Let me read Genesis 2, second part of verse 9. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Is a life and death choice. Adam, you eat from anything, including the tree of life. Listen to me. Adam was offered the opportunity to eat of the tree of life and live forever. But if he ate from the other fruit of the difference between good and evil, then God would not make him eternally powerful in that body. Are you getting it? Think of it. It's a choice, Adam. Anything in the garden except the one tree. Guess which one he chooses. He pushed the button. The one he chose was the wrong one. Life or death. So at the point they sinned against God, you got to remember something. The serpent tricked Eve. Adam chose to eat. He had a choice. She was tricked. He chose, knowing what God had said. How many times do we see that in our own life? When God looks at us and he looks in our heart and he says, I know that you're hurting on the inside. I want to bring you peace. That peace that surpasses all understanding. I want you to have victory from within. And if you have victory from within, you will always be victorious without. Amen. I offer it to you. Your choice. And yet, the human race looks upon our garden of the world, and we see someone has something shiny over here, and we want to have the same thing. And we focus more on what this world offers than the true jewels that God has already given us. What good is gaining the whole world and losing your own soul? What good is it to have all the wealth of the world but not have peace within? You see what's going on in our nation. For there is not peace within the heart, which should begin in the family. And when the family is no longer together, everything breaks down. You hear me on that? And God looks. And what does he see? He sees you and me, just like he looked at Adam. And he knew what was going to take place before it did. And he also knew that Satan, because he kicked him out of heaven, doesn't know everything. He also knew that Satan was going to get overly angry when his son would appear to take the human life and live it for us. When Jesus took on humanity, he showed us how much he loves us. Larry, I'm going to take every pain and ache that you will ever have, every sin that's going to mess up your mind. I am going to see all of that before time began, and I'm agreeing with my Father that I'm going to take on all the hurt, even though, yes, Larry, you deserve it. But when you become my child, I want you to know I'll always be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be there right in the middle of your pain. I've already felt that pain. And I have taken that pain for you. Therefore, he said, I want you to keep going. Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden. Not because God didn't love them, but because once they rebelled against God, if they had taken from the tree of life, they would have had to deal with that sin for eternity. They would be trapped in this human condition. And God says, no, I'm not going to trap you like that. And the scripture says, as he put them out, cherubim, the angels that surround God himself were set in place to keep them from ever coming back in it. Why? Because he loved them. God loves us. And he says, this is what's going to happen because I want you to know that I love you. Lord, why don't you let somebody else hurt and show me how bad they hurt and teach me how much you love me? It's not the way it is, is it? Do you still have aches and pains even though you're a Christian? Do you still not feel that emptiness? Do you still not feel that hurt? Do you still not look inside and want to have that peace? When the desire is there, I want you to know. Christian, listen to me. The whole world will be trying to tell you you're not a Christian because of this, that, or the other. When you have a desire to do that which is right in the eyes of God, I don't care if the physical world pulls you completely away from it, you belong to the Lord. Once you've said yes to Jesus Christ, you are a part of the family of God. And God walks with us. He talked and walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. He didn't ask Adam and Eve, how did they know they were naked? Because he didn't know it. He wanted them to admit. Too often we will become so hard-hearted that we will not even admit that we need salvation. I got it good. Why do I need this Jesus? Because that good you have is not truly good. God deals in truth. And he says life is full of choices, good and bad. I do not blame the world because I grew up without a father. He died when I was 5. And I listen to people, woe is me, I did not have a father. Well, get over it. I got news for you. Yes, you did. He's just not around. Do they even teach biology in school anymore? Okay, thank you. So as God looks on, he looks on his creation, he still sees us in his garden. I'm going to show you the proof of that in a little bit. Man cannot destroy the garden of God. No more than man can destroy the Spirit of God or the individual who has that Spirit within their being. Can they kill the body? Well, they can if God allows it. But they can't even do that without God allowing it. But they cannot touch who you are on the inside. The real you. You're still going. You still realize Hey, wait a minute, I might be slowing down. But Jesus has never slowed down. And He's got me. If I walk off into the ditch, He'll catch me. If there's problems that I cannot even focus on, He said, I'll take care of them. Trust me. Adam and Eve did not trust God. They had chose to believe the lie rather than the truth. And the pain began. But just in case you look at that in the wrong way, remember, God did not put a curse on Adam and Eve. The curse was on the land from which the serpent or the evil came from. And it would grow thorns and thistles. He did not curse the human race. He loves us. He sent His Son to die for us. The capstone of your creation and my creation, we are so blessed because, folks, we live now. We live now in the creation that God created for us. I love you, says God. People curse Him. They mock Him. They do all manner of evil against those who are His children. You know what God says? I love you. But you're going to have to choose. The day is coming when your choice will be sealed. When your choice that you have made cannot be changed. That's the true part of sending away your day of grace. I give you love, grace, peace, harmony. I give you a mind that is clear. Which will you choose? Adam chose death. Genesis 2:17. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. Think again. They could have went and eat at the tree of life, and the other's tree would have been gone. One tree that would cast evil upon them, they took. When God says, don't touch it. Have you seen it in your own life? Have you seen where you had a choice to do what is right, and yet you choose what's wrong? And a lot of times making that choice, you don't know why you made it, simply because the right choice that you were given would have been more beneficial to you to begin with. And you knew it. And God says, but you will make the choice. And as the tree, wherever it is cut, there shall it lie. Where it falls, there shall it lie. You will make a choice to choose Christ or to go against Him. And until the day you give up that spirit that God had breathed within you, if you haven't accepted Him, at the time when the time comes, the appointed time for your death, then you will not live with Him where He is. How do we mock that which is good and think that we can survive? How do we go against the true Creator of everything that exists and believe that payday is not coming? It's coming. It's already here. And God says the judgment will begin in My house among the people who call themselves My children. The true believer, the true Christian, God says cannot come under condemnation or judgment. So here He is, God, looking within the heart of the church. And as He looks within the heart of the church, God says, you come here. You come here. Folks, he's going up and down the aisle of his house. First, the scripture says, and looking at the true hearts that are in the pews. And those who are his, he will take with him. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. This building will fall one day. It will come down, being torn down or otherwise. But God will still be around, so therefore I know God doesn't live in something that's dead like brick, mortar, wood. The only living thing in a church is you and me. Therefore, he says, you are the church, not the building. You are my people. And I love you. I love you just like you are. But I am coming. And I'm coming soon. For within the heart of God is his truth and mankind's doom. I will search through your mind and your heart and glare and see through the eyes that you love. What will I see when I come? Will my children have read my book? As I search the heart, I look at the mind. What will I find? Will I see a reflection of my son, or the day that you turn and you run? I've given you all that I have. The love is so superior. There's none that's deeper or clearer. For I place my hand upon you who serve. It'll be my power. The power my son deserves. Will I see him in you? Will I see a mind that's true? I have given all that I have. There's no need for any more. For with my son is the true joy. My world is not of yours, but as you come, as you come, I will show you what you've never seen. I have waiting for you, which now in you is only a dream. I'm going to show you how much I love, and I'll let you know I'm always above. When you're in trouble, all you need to do is call. But listen to me, for it's beneficial to all. You either will choose that which I love, or you will choose evil and never enter above. I will take care of your problems. I've already taken your sin. I am God Almighty. I happen to love my kin. You and I be at peace. For Father, it is your power. It is your love. It is your baby that's sent from above. Father, forgive us. We've mishandled your word, and you gave all you could give. All for those who did not care. Listen, my children. God says to our heart, you haven't seen anything. You haven't even seen the start. My love is so great. My love is so true. I would not continue creation without you. The time is coming, says God, when I will shut the mouth where my preachers trod. The silence will be louder than a scream, for mankind has rejected the truly true dream. You can't see me now, but you will real soon. I'm going to take you home. God loves us so much. I get so afraid. Your pastor gets so afraid. Not of the cancers and all the other stuff, but to know that God is pouring out His Spirit to preachers and all. It's hard to stand. It's hard to proclaim the truth, not because of what man says or how he acts, but because the truth has so much power. You can barely stand. Your legs are wobbling. Your heart is thumping. And the human condition says, there's more to this life than meets the eye, isn't there? I know Jesus. But the exciting part is, Jesus knows me. He knows you. Please listen to His voice. Our time is running out. God's not happy with the world. But He's not happy but because of the way they're treating His children, you and me. Here's something that the Christian will have a hard time ever understanding in its human body. When people say, why do the good die young? Do you ever stop to think that maybe it's because they're the good, that God is taking them out to protect them from the evil to come? Do you ever think that He will take some of the good that love Him faster because He sees around the curve knowing what could have happened to them, and yet He leaves the others to preach and to teach? It is Jesus Himself who let us know that in the final days, your daughters will prophesy. I don't know what's wrong with their hard-headed Baptist system. God says, this is what's going to happen. I'll tell you this about my mother this morning that she shared with me. Be 102 and 29th of this month. But she was weeping when I went in. And she said, sit down a minute. I got to tell you something. You better take a minute for your mamas, especially when they're 102. I had a dream last night, she said, and I'm scared. She said, nothing like this ever happened to me. I've listened to people talk and I thought they were just foolish. But I dreamed that I had died and I was in heaven and I saw all my children. I saw them, Larry, all but one. All but one. And she said, I remember my dream just like she was dreaming it then. I remember that I searched all over heaven. I couldn't find him. What does that mean? And I said, Mom, I don't know. I cannot figure out why things happen. I can see the symbolism. But that one she's talking about still alive, still has the chance. God will never force us to serve Him. He will never do us that way. I weep for many that I've been around that would never walk through the door of a church I love so much. And I would think, what else could you do? And she said that. What else can I do? I cannot go back and change how I raised any of you. Mom, it has nothing to do with your raising or you. You raised us, but we had a choice. Same choice as anyone else. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, each of us lift our heart to You. We hurt so bad, Father, for those we love. We want to fix people and we know that we can't. We want to make things right, and yet it seems as though we mess it up in the process. Forgive us for our foolishness and for our weakness. Father, I pray, give us the strength and the boldness to stand strong. even though we tremble in your presence. Father, please have mercy on us, your children. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.